The Bible says, Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again?" Now notice this, verse 36, "For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." I want to speak this morning on the subject, Him. Him. Tom, I need a little volume on the monitors, please, just a little bit. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the privilege to be in church this morning. We look around us on a horizontal plane of what's taking place in our own country, yea, even around the world. And these are strange days. But Lord, I'm glad that we have You. And I pray that You'll speak to our hearts this morning. Encourage Your people, and I'll give You the honor, praise, and glory for it. Fill us all, both speaker and listener, so that we can hear what Your Spirit would have us hear today. In Christ's name, I ask it. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. A math teacher stands before his students and thoroughly explains the concepts of a certain mathematical equation. He does it in such a way that there is really nothing left to be added to it. He has said it all, everything about that particular math that can be said, He has said. An English teacher stands before her students and thoroughly explains the rules of grammar. And she does so in such a way that there's really nothing left to be added to what she has taught. She has said it all. Everything concerning that particular grammatical issue has been said. Nothing more to be said. An electrical engineer, he stands before a group of students who are anxious to learn and teaches them about electrical engineering. And he does so in such a way that there is really nothing left to be added to what he taught. Whatever can be taught about electrical engineering, he has said it all. Now, I can go on and on this morning with different examples. But folks, the last word on subjects like math and grammar and electrical engineering and any other subject on this earth can be said by people. Everything to be discovered about those subjects has been uncovered. All one can do is just go over what's already been learned. What's already been taught. Not so with Him. Not so. And by Him, I mean the great and only God of heaven, the one who sits on the throne of the universe, sovereign, rules over it all. The last word about Him, the last word about His book, will never and can never be said. What can be discovered about our God has not yet been fully uncovered, nor will it ever be, because there's no one like Him. Like Him. I remember I got to hear R.G. Lee preach on his 90th birthday. Longtime pastor, president of Southern Baptist Convention when it was conservative years and years ago. Lived to be 90, 91, I think. I actually heard him preach, as I said, on his 90th birthday. I heard Payday Someday. I heard that in person. I heard him preach Payday Someday. And for you, what, you like sermons? You like classic sermons? Google Payday Someday, R.G. Lee. Listen to it. Talked about King Ahab and Jezebel and Elijah. Man, it's a sermon. Payday Someday. And he turns 90, however old he got to the end of his life. And he had been preaching and teaching 70 years. He'd not been living 70 years, been preaching 70 years. And somebody said to him, "Dr. Lee, I guess you've just about exhausted the Bible." And in his southern drawl, he said, "I haven't even scratched the surface." Amen. Haven't even scratched the surface. You see, what can be discovered about God has not been fully uncovered. There's nobody like Him. This is Paul's conclusion as he closes out chapter 11 of the book of Romans. It's like singing the doxology. Remember where churches used to sing the doxology? Praise God from whom? It's like what he does here at the end of chapter number 11. He's been writing about the nation of Israel and God's future dealings with them. And folks, you want to know about the nation of Israel and God's dealings with them in the future? Study out Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 9 is his past dealings with Israel. Romans chapter 10 is his present dealings with Israel. And then chapter 11, his future dealings. And there have been a lot of really in-depth truths about God's relationship with Israel and how that's going to fall out and has fallen out for the Gentile people. And the way God has dealt with his people has actually been beneficial to Gentiles, to you and me. And all these things here, and I could go into some of those, but that's not the theme of my message today. So he gets all the way through that, down through verse number 32. And after giving all these wonderful truths, some of them are a little difficult to grasp, to be honest with you. Paul starts extolling the greatness of God. It's like he's saying, hey folks, I know some of the things that I've been writing that have come from God by way of inspiration, they're a little bit hard to grasp, but it's okay, because who can know the mind of the Lord? And that was his question. Look at verse number 33. He starts talking about God, and the last word on him has never been spoken, written, or even imagined. In verse number 34 and 35, Paul asks three questions. The answer to all three of these questions is no one. No one has known the mind of the Lord. No one has been his counselor. Look at the questions. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Nobody. Or who hath been his counselor? Who's ever given God advice? I don't think anybody's given God advice, okay? Or whose debt has God ever been? That's what he's talking about, verse number 35. Or who hath first given to him, and that should be recompensed unto him again. If you give to somebody first, what is the recipient of your gift? They are debtor to you now. Well, God's never been in anybody's debt. You don't go there. There'd been nobody like God. No one, no one, no one. And then Paul wraps it up in verse number 36 with the truth. Look at it. For of him and through him and to him are all things. God is, number one, the source of him. Number two, he is the sustainer through him. Number three, he is the supreme end to him. He is those things. He is source, sustainer, and supreme end of all things. He is the source of all things. He can be found at the beginning of all things. He is the sustainer of all things. He can be found continuing all things. He is the supreme end of all things. He will be found at the end of all things. And because of that, church, our lives should center around him. He is not just worthy of one day a week. He is worthy of my life. We should recognize he's the source. We should remember he is the sustainer. We should realize he is the supreme end of all things. I have three questions for us this morning to ponder a little bit today. Question number one. Do I have life? Do you have life today? Do you have physical life? Do you have spiritual life? God is the source of my life. God is the sustainer of my life, and God should be the supreme end of my life. My life is the gift of God. It began with him. It continues by... I think I did this with you just a couple of weeks ago in one of the other services, but you understand the breath that you just drew came from his hand. And when he quits passing those out, guess what? We're done. It's what the Bible teaches us. He is the source of my life and yours. He is the sustainer of my life and yours. And he is the supreme end of my life. Because he's the source, because he is the sustainer, because he's going to be there at the end, my life should be lived to him. You know, how dare somebody who claims Jesus Christ as their Savior be so short-sighted as to live for themselves and hardly give any thought to the one who is the source, the sustainer, and the supreme end of life. That'd be very short-sighted. This life is not the end. You understand that? This life is not the end. We will someday have to face the one who is the source, sustainer, and supreme end of our life. Maybe we should live to Him. We'll face Him. How some of God's people need to wake up. I don't mean from physical napping, although if you're in church, that would be a good thing to do. Okay? I don't see anybody sleeping this morning, but you might be. You might be sleeping with your eyes open. Amen. I don't know. How some of God's people need to rethink our habits, our routines, our words, our thoughts, our actions, our imaginations. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and the involvements of our life, maybe we should rethink them, because they're going to end up under His scrutiny. We need to live to Him. To Him. How many of our habits, how many of our routines, how many of our words, how many of our thoughts, how many of our actions, imaginations, how many of our involvements of life are actually centered around Him? You know, I was thinking, too many times our lives are influenced by those or things that are not the source. They're not the sustainer. They're certainly not the supreme end of our life. We do and we say and we come and we go at the command of our employer, never giving any thought to the fact that the employer is none of those things. And I am not saying don't be a good employee, but I'm saying our first responsibility is far beyond our employer. Our first responsibility is to Him. To Him. Too many times we live and move and have our being as if money was the source, the sustainer, and the supreme end of our lives. How foolish. Or friends. Or accomplishments. Or fame. We live in the pursuit of the American dream with no thought that this does not end with the American dream. This ends to Him. With Him. Why do we not live understanding He is the source, sustainer, and the supreme end of our lives? Think about it. Dwell on it a little bit this morning. Think. You know, some of us need to stop the rat race that has become life. And we need to sit quietly with a clear mind, with no phone beeping, dinging, ringing. Nothing technical, no device, just in the quietness of a soundless, if possible, environment. And seek to think about who it is that will be there at the end. Because life is to Him. It began with Him. It continues with Him. It's going to end with Him. Under His scrutiny. Honestly, how much of my life is lived considering Him as the source, the sustainer, and the supreme end? I am convinced. If we thought about that, it would alter some of our behavior. As a child of God, I've allowed myself to get swallowed into the culture of what has become, in our own country, a godless society. And we've lived for the moment. The moment of entertainment. The moment of convenience. The moment of enjoyment. Without ever considering that this ends with Him. With Him. Do you have life? Do you have physical life? Do you have spiritual life this morning? Both of those are the gift of God. Both of those begin with Him, are sustained by Him, and He is at the end of life. Then I got question number two this morning. Do I have life, number one? Number two, am I married? Are you married? I look around the room this morning. Not everybody in this room is married, but the vast majority of the adults in this room are involved in marriage. Couples, do you understand that God is the source of marriage? Do you understand He's the sustainer of marriage? Do you understand He is the supreme end of marriage? And the question is are our marriages lived out in that light? Marriage was started by God. It is sustained by God. It should be lived with the fact that it is to God. It ends with God. And ultimately, marriage is not for the pleasure of men and women. Ultimately, marriage is for God's pleasure. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. That's what Paul said. He said, folks, look, good night. This is so much bigger than we even give thought to sometimes. This whole thing, it began with God, is sustained by God. It ends with God. Live your marriage to Him. You know, there are too many marriages governed by selfishness. Spouses long for their spouse to make them happy. And their relationship is all about them. They're like I told before the little story about the brother and sister on Christmas Day. And they received, remember the old wooden rocking horses? And you could sit, nothing mechanical about it. You did everything yourself, right? And you're rocking. And man, they got one of those Christmas morning. And they rode that thing, and they rode that thing all afternoon. They're laughing, having a great time. Boys in front, sisters in back. And all of a sudden, in the middle of rocking and enjoying everything, he just stops. Turns around and says, if one of us would get off, there would be a lot more room for me. And we laugh at that. And when I read that, it was not in connection to marriage until I was thinking one day. That's how a lot of people are about their marriage. I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. I'm not. A part of the problem is we have forgotten that marriage is for God's glory. Not for just personal enjoyment. Now, don't get me wrong. There's much personal enjoyment in marriage. And that's especially true when a husband and wife realize, you know what? God started this institution, and He's the sustainer of this institution, and He is the supreme end of this institution of marriage. So you know what? Because God is the source, and because He's the sustainer, we're going to live our marriage primarily for His honor. When people do that, there's a lot of fun in marriage. There's a lot of enjoyment in marriage. It's when we lose sight of where it ends. Are you listening this morning? We lose sight of where it ends. And that's when we get in trouble. Don't forget that marriages don't fail. People fail. Well, marriage just doesn't work. No. God started marriage. Marriage works. Marriage is good. Marriage is right. It's good. It's designed for success and blessing, because God started it. It is of Him. Marriage is through Him as well. And people, it's not God's fault if people look at marriage as only for their own happiness and benefit. At the supreme end of a marriage relationship is God. Married couples, those of us that are married, marriage was started by God. It is sustained by God. It should be lived to God. That's how it should go. Now, I'm not here this morning. This church is like any other church, Baptist church that I know of in America. There are people sitting in the pews this morning who have suffered through the pain and the hurt and the tragicness of a divorce. I don't mean to pile on, make you feel any worse than you probably have already felt through the years. But I must say to those who are in a marriage relationship right now, it should be lived to Him. To Him. You know what is a fact, folks, and a sad fact? The divorce rate among Christians who attend church regularly is only slightly lower than that among unchurched people across this country. That is a horrible statistic. One of the problems is we forget that marriage is of Him, through Him, and to Him. It's for Him. You know, a so-called woman, born-again television preacher, she said, and I quote to you, "I'm happier now than I was before the divorce because I'm my own person making decisions on my own. In my mind, God is a forgiving Father and He loves me despite the divorce. I'm hoping I'm not judged as a Christian on the basis of a divorce. We are both happier being divorced friends than married enemies." And you know what the problem is with all that? Is I. Husbands, marriage is not to us. Wives, marriage is not to you. Marriage is to God. It's not about only our happiness and our enjoyment. It is what makes God happy about this relationship. That's what matters. You know what makes God happy? Till death do us. I am so blessed. I'm so thankful. People ask me sometimes about college days. Brother Don, college days are long, long days ago now. What was the best thing about college? Without hesitation, sitting right over there. Better than any class I took. Better than any instruction I got. Better than anything I was taught. A whole lot better than some of what I was taught. Like, get out of Social Security. That was a brainless. But anyway, that's the best thing about college. The best thing about college. Couples, no marriage exists on a plane like this. Every marriage is going to have ups and downs. Conflicts, disagreements, arguments. Stick it out. Stick it out. You're going to get to the place where, now we've had our share. No, I'm not going to tell you. We've had our share. Now, God is my witness. I am not boasting or bragging, and it could all fall apart tomorrow as far as this argument thing. But we can't even have an argument now because we start laughing at each other. We tried to have an argument the other day. She always starts them. But anyway, so no, that's not true. We tried to have it lasted about 40 seconds. All we could do was end up laughing at each other. We just laughed. She is my dearest friend. I'm hers. Stick it out. Say, are you happy? Well, you know, yeah, I am. And I think she is. But you know what really, you know what ultimately matters? Is he happy? Because this is to him. And it's rightly to him because it started with him, it is sustained by him, and it ends with him. Am I a part of a family? Who founded the family? Who sustains the family? Who is the family for in the end? It's to God. There's great blessing in being part of a family. The Bible says out of the book of Psalms that God setteth the solitary in families. What a blessing that God does that for people. You know, I'm going to tell you, folks, somebody someday is going to stand before God for this forced separation of families during this virus. People dying alone, with no visits from loved ones, and people having their loved ones in hospitals and can't see them for months is criminal. It is not political. It is not scientific. It's criminal. It's criminal. The touch of a loved one's hand, the subconscious hearing of a loved one's voice. It's criminal. That bozo in New York City. Brother. 15,000 people in nursing homes die. How many of them died alone? Kevin Wynn, Mexico City, dear lady in his church, their mother came down with COVID along with other things, ended up in the hospital down there. Nobody could see her. She dies. They don't even get her personal belongings back. They get an urn of her ashes. That's all they got. That's criminal. Somebody's going to give an account for that someday. Boy, there's something about family. Are you doing your part to help your family live to God? Teenager, are you doing your part to help your family live to God? How about you young adults that are still at home? You know, sometimes that young adult thing living at home is a little bit hairy. It's like having four adults in the same house. That's what it's like. How do you know? Been there. I know. And sometimes you get disconnected. You get a little older. You get disconnected from your parents. You get disconnected from your siblings. Are you contributing to the goal of the family to live to God? How about that? Well, I just want this to be my way. Really? That family unit begins with God, continues with God, and is supposed to be lived to Him. He's the supreme end of all things. I could go on and on, time's vanishing. I could preach about work. I could preach about money. I could preach about church. The verse says, all things, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all. Well, that's only applied to what Paul said in this passage. What Paul said in this passage was, who hath known the mind of God? I mean, it's just, you know, I believe we all agree that God is the source. We would also agree that God is the sustainer. But somewhere along the lines, folks, after that, we lose the reality that life, marriage, family is supposed to be to Him. He is the supreme end of all things. In the end, my question is, does my life, my marriage, my family, my work, the handling of money, on and on, how will it be looked on by God? That's who it's to. Will all things be looked on Him and be pleasing, or will it be displeasing? Will it bring a rebuke of, you know what, you left me out of all things. I began them, I sustained them, and then you just forgot that I was even in the picture. Or will it be well done? Well done. Maybe you're here this morning and you know, you don't know for sure that you're even saved. You have physical life that began as God's gift. And God, you know, even though you may not be saved, God's sustaining your life. He's still passing out the breath. If you're not saved, one of the great things you can do is realize that Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary, paid the sin debt so that you could be forgiven and have heaven as your home. And then spend the rest of your days living your life to God. You say, well, I'm older most of my life. You listen, My granddaddy was an alcoholic. Pawpaw. Alcoholic. Thought demons were trying to get him in a motel room in Alabama because he was so drunk. Had to send people over to bring him back to Atlanta. Would spend all the money. Spend it all on alcohol. He ended up getting saved in his 50s. Right? How old mom was he when he got saved? 52. When did he die? 57? 58. Moms always correct you. Amen. They always correct you. That's what moms do. No, it's 58. I did ask. That's right. I did ask. You're right. I did ask. I know my place. You know what he did with those 6 years? You know what he did with those 6 years? He lived them to God. One of the happiest, funnest guys at the church house for 6 years. He lived them to God. My heart goes out to unsaved people. My wife and I, such a beautiful day yesterday afternoon when I got home after visiting with Ray a little bit, and we ate some lunch, and I said, let's just go knock a couple of, it's been so long since I've gone door to door. We've been doing these new moves and stuff, and so let's just go out. And so we went out and just hit a couple of blocks, both sides of the street down there where Brother Horman lives in that area. And really, we only had one person that was a little, it wasn't even ugly, just not interested. Okay, that's great, you know. Hollered from the couch, not interested. Okay. I still left the thing on his door, amen. So, but talked to several people, got a prospect. But I just thought, you know, house after house after house, people are living in this life with no thought of God. Psalm 10, verse 5 says, God is not in all their thoughts. That's talking about the wicked, the unsaved. But that should not be true of us. We should understand it's of Him, through Him, and to Him. It's all about Him. So in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, let's live that way to God. Because it's all about Him. Father, would you bless our hearts, our thoughts today? Would you please take the message and put it where only you can put it, deep down in our soul. And Lord, bring whatever result you want from the message today. Encourage folks. There are some in this room who do live under the knowledge that life is to you. It's where it ends. And so the things I say, the places I go, this and that of my life, are all governed by this truth of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Others here today, Lord, might have slipped a little bit into the pressure of conforming to the things of this world and forgetting, hey, whoa, wait a minute. This thing's going to end with God. That's where it's going. And Lord, I pray that you'll create an awareness, a consciousness that's been lost. If there's somebody here unsaved, God, draw their heart to Christ especially, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder who today was a pastor. Somewhere throughout the course of the message, I was encouraged, I was convicted, I was reminded, but I just kind of needed that reminder this morning. And God came really close to where I'm sitting, put His finger on my heart about this matter of Him. It all ends with Him. Say, Pastor, I want to just acknowledge God spoke to me today. Can I see your hand wherever you're sitting? If that's you this morning, that's you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Can I ask this question? If you're here, you're not sure you're saved or you know that you're not. You're not sure you're born again on your way to heaven. Can I just at least pray for you? Not by name, but just in asking God to help you know that you're saved. If you're not saved, could I just pray for you? Just an uplifted hand says, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'll see your hand. You can take it right back down. Anybody? Front to back, side to side. Someday it will end with him. And you want to be saved for sure. If you've been saved, we were going to baptize, that's right, but the water was not heated, so we're going to postpone that. So if God speaks to your heart today, let's use the altar. That's what churches do. What God's people do. You can respond just thanking God, acknowledging his speaking to your heart. Lord, I need that reminder. It pricked me a little bit to think that I've slipped into a consciousness that's not as aware of you as it should be. All things of him, through him, to him. It's him. Just let God know that this morning. Whatever God said to your heart. Father, bless the invitation. In Christ's name. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. The pianist begins the song this morning. You obey the Lord. It's him. That's who it is. It's him. Of him, through him, to him. It's where it ends. Are you contributing to that truth in your family, teenager? Are you contributing to that truth, young adult? How about it, dad, mom? How about the marriage relationship? Is it lived to him? To him? Is it, as she played this morning, as she plays, how about life? Is it to him? Have lesser things gotten in the way of these truths? It's to him. Him. About him. It needs to be about him now because it's going to end at him, with him, to him someday. May God help us. Father, we are glad, thankful for your book. It sets our thinking straight. As we come across verses like that in our Bible reading, your Spirit highlights it, points it out, says, hey, here's a good reminder. It's all about him. Begins with him, continues with him, and someday will end at him. So let's live to him. Bless our people. Bless our marriages. Bless our homes, our families. Bless the individual in this room this morning. In their life, may we live it to you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.